Well, I could tell something was about to happen. She'd been shaking for a couple of hours, and then it stopped. Throughout the night, we kept popping down and checking what was happening. As I walked down the stairs at 4 a.m., I could hear the first of two puppies squeaking. And number three was on the way. We woke up our children. They were quite young at the time. So they could see the miracle of puppies being born and the way that our Labrador just looked after them so naturally. Number three came, then number four came, then number five came, then number six came, then the kids went to school, then number seven came. I had a meeting, so I got my secretary to come in and deliver the rest of the puppies. She was a very flexible lady. I came back, number eight had arrived, and I delivered number nine at 3:30 in the afternoon. What an experience. I was exhausted, let alone the poor dog. But as a novice puppy midwife, the experience, quite frankly, blew me away. It was a real miracle. It's like many things in life. Many of the wonders of creation, that God creates amazing things. Our reading from John tells us that God is the creator of all things. And that the Word, that is God the Son, the Word is the author, the sustainer of all creation. That is verse 3, isn't it? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Through him everything was made. Through the Lord Jesus. Well, the wonder of Christmas is that the one who created us, the one who gives you and I life and breath right now, who gave each of those puppies life, became a man. This will be my 48th Christmas on planet Earth. Do you know, I still find it exciting that actually the coming of this one, this child, into the world. But there's a real danger, isn't it, that we get so familiar with the story that it can leave us a little bit cold. What about you? Maybe if you're not familiar with it, maybe this Christmas you face great uncertainty in your life. You're not sure what the future holds. Because of your health or your job or your family, you can't find much to be excited about this Christmas or comforted by. Or maybe you've just lost a loved one. And that sense of loss just means you can't get excited about Christmas anymore. Or maybe it's just that everything else gets in the way, the presents, the food, that we lose sight of the wonder of God's gift to us. Well, what does God's word say to the overfamiliar, to the worried, to the grieving, to the distracted? Well, God's word in John 1:14 says this: the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the wonder of Christmas, that God became a man. That the Word, that is God the Son in eternity, the author, the sustainer of life, who existed before the world began, came into our world, into the womb of a young girl called Mary. God the Son left the splendor of heaven and became as small as a pinhead inside Mary's womb. Week 6, he was no bigger than an apple pip. Week 7, he's no bigger than a small grape. Week 8, he was no bigger than the size of a small strawberry. This is the Creator becoming flesh, becoming a man. The Word became flesh. Now, several years ago, we might have been very impressed when we heard that Prince William, the future King of England, slept rough in London to raise awareness of the plight of homeless people. What a great king he's going to be. And yet, get this, God becomes a man. The Creator of all descends to earth and is born and placed into an animal's feeding trough. He grows up. This one who becomes flesh and blood. And he'll be cut. And he will bleed. He'll be hit. He'll be bruised. He will weep and suffer such anguish. He comes. He comes to live among us. The Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. That phrase, dwelling among us, means literally, he put up his tent and he lived with us. Once have you been on a camping holiday? You get no real choice who gets the pitch next to you. It can be marvelous. It can be an absolute nightmare. Well, not so. At the time when God camped among us. What a blessing. What a joy. God the Son is born and Jesus sets up his tent and he lives among us. Now, why is that such good news? There are too many things to list, but let's think about a few. Because Jesus, who is fully God and fully human, it means that he is not distant. He knows what it's like to be human. He knows what it is to be tempted in every way, and yet he did not sin. He knows what it is to grieve. For he wept for his friend Lazarus. He knows what it is to suffer. And so he can relate to us this evening, however we feel. This Jesus is not some distant ruler or king. He is the Lord and Savior who has come to become one of us. He's lived among us. He's put up his tent and he knows what it's like to be human. What a great God we have. What a great God that we can know. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He's not only able to understand us, but because he's fully God, he has the power to help us, the power to save us. Mark Twain wrote the story of the prince and the pauper, where two young boys of identical appearance swapped places. One boy, Tom Clancy, the pauper, who lived with his awful father in a great place called Offal Court on Pudding Lane. Isn't that fantastic? He lived on Offal Court on Pudding Lane. And the other was Edward VI of England, the son of Henry VIII. Well, they swap places. And the prince becomes a pauper. And as he does that, he becomes so aware of the stark differences of the poverty and the hardship of the people of London. And he vows when his time comes that he will do all he can to change things and to reign with mercy. Well, of course, the future king could do that sort of thing because he has the power. And that's just a story. But John, who writes this gospel from first-hand evidence, is dealing with the facts of history. No myth made up by Mark Twain, a true story. And Jesus, the God-man, he comes down and he lives among us. He knows what it is to be human, yet without sin. He's able to show us mercy and grace, and he has power and compassion and mercy. And he can help us because he is God made flesh with all authority, the creator of all. And John knows, the author, that this is true. For he says that he has seen it. He's seen it with his own eyes. He says, we have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father. He is one among many who witnessed with their own eyes the glory, the majesty of Jesus. He witnessed all those things he said and did that showed that Jesus is God. Teaching like no other with authority, healing the sick, raising the dead, walking on the water, calming the storm with a word, forgiving sins. John says, I've seen him. I've seen him with my own eyes. I've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. In Jesus, we have the glistening glory of God, revealing God's holiness, his beauty, his tenderness, his love, his power. John the author was in no doubt as to who this person was that he walked on the earth with. And so he writes this Gospel of John to persuade you and me that Jesus is the Lord God, the Savior, who came for me, who came for you. And just look at the precious treasures that he brings, that John describes for us. These precious treasures he brings in verse 14. He speaks about him being full of grace and truth. His grace. His undeserved love for people who've rejected him. Now, how do you treat people who've ignored you and rejected you and treated you like dirt? Well, God in Jesus comes and he treats us with grace. He makes the way of friendship and forgiveness possible at great cost to himself, even death on a cross for us. That is grace, undeserved love and mercy. In verse 12, we see to all those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That is the wonder of Jesus becoming a man. That is the rich treasure of his coming, full of the good news of grace, full of truth, no spin, truth, no lies, truth. And if you're not yet a Christian tonight, that is what all the fuss is about this Christmas time. The coming of Jesus into the world to make a relationship with God possible that starts now and lasts forever. Grace and truth and forgiveness and never ending with a sure hope of heaven. And that is because God became a man and he made this possible through his death and resurrection for us. You see, whatever you do, whatever you do, do not put away this wonderful gift of grace and truth with the rest of your decorations in a few weeks' time. No, make sure you find out more about the Lord Jesus and the life that he has come to give you if you don't know him. Now, to those of us who know Christ tonight, who call themselves Christians, who've trusted in Christ as their Savior and King. This passage is full of wonderful truths to get us excited about, to shake us out of our familiarity and distractedness, and to bring comfort right now to where we are, whatever we face this Christmas. Let's not let our familiarity with the Christmas story leave us cold. The Word became flesh and He dwelt among us, and He knows what it's like to be a human. And yet He's got the power to change our lives forever. Maybe this Christmas we face great uncertainty in our life. We're not sure what the future holds because of our health or our job. We can't find much to be excited about or comforted by. Or maybe this Christmas you'll miss somebody terribly, that loved one who's no longer with us. Well, hear these words of comfort and grace and truth from God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is full of grace and truth. His grace is sufficient for you today and tomorrow and forever. Because He came to be with His people. And they are never alone, never abandoned, never without the God of all comfort and compassion beside them and living in them by His Spirit. He knows what it is to be human, like us, and yet He is able to help us in a way that nobody else can, for He is God. I wonder tonight, will we receive that comfort into our hearts afresh? Or maybe for the first time, as we come to put our trust in Christ. Why not, if you're not yet a Christian, explore this person, Jesus Christ? We run a course in the new year. We run it at Wetherspoons. We also run it during the day, where we look at the Christian faith. There's a little card about it in your chairs called Life Explore. We run it on Tuesday nights at Wetherspoons. We also run it during the day if you want to come to that, where you can explore this person, Jesus Christ, and see for yourself from the evidence if it's true and if it will change your life forever. Please take a book or a gospel on the way out, and please join us in the new year. Let's watch this video as I close.